Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris on January 16th. I'm extremely excited to get church going today. I understand all of us might be a little bit cold, might be a little bit frigid outside, but once you start to stand up and start worshiping and jumping around, I promise that ice is going to melt right off of you. So if you would, please stand with us today and let's go before the Lord and let's bring Him our praise.
You are holy. good in the house this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll make some quick announcements that the monthly mission pledge is going to be January 30th. So that's coming up. And then also, everybody say strawberry fundraiser. We are in full swing of the strawberry fundraiser going on. If you have not gotten your packet yet with the order form and all the information, reach out to myself or Sister Callan and we can get that to you. And you can get to selling strawberries. And as Brother Jimbo Thompson says, helping marriages is what he says. I saw him cold calling his contact list last year, offering to help somebody's marriage by selling them some chocolate covered strawberries. And so I'm a believer in that. And so we're going to sell some strawberries. We're going to help our youth. And you don't have to be in the youth group to sell chocolate-covered strawberries. If you're wanting to sell, help some marriages, and also help the U-Turn Student Ministries, you can get a packet and sell it at your workplace. We're going to be delivering to businesses and to schools. And it's going to be a great time. All the orders will be due February 9th. And we're also going to need donations of white and chocolate almond bark. So the ones we prefer are going to be the Walmart generic brand. You get more, and it's also a better price. And so if you get some to donate, please bring it to the church kitchen, and then we'll be able to bring it over to the family center. And that is it for the announcements. So let's move back into worship. Amen.
Are you thankful to speak His name? There's been times where I just feel totally overwhelmed with life, and you really don't have words for it sometimes. Discipline myself, the only word I need to speak is Jesus. Oh, Jesus, have your way in this place. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
streets. Jesus and the darkness over there.
Get serious about it. God, we got a house.
Jesus for my heart
there.
Rising
in my family there.
Sing that bridge. yourself. Please step out in faith. And the Lord is going to reward your faith. Whether that be peace, whether that be strength, whether that be financially. I genuinely feel that. And then afterwards we'll go into prayer requests. But I have a feeling that someone needs to be touched here today in this place. Jack Sr., he passed away, so keep them in your family. as well as everyone over the past year who has lost a family member. Just continue to pray for peace and strength for that family and that everyone else that's lost someone. Brother Randy Armstrong, he's feeling neck and back pain. Ken Sisk has stage 4 cancer. Tyler Bowden, very sick and he needs prayer. Steve Green, Brother David Young, J.J. Freeland and family, they're feeling better, but please continue to pray for them. Chris Vickers, Jonathan and Stacy Fryer, Cash Ania, Don Howe, Brother Matt Ashton, Sister Brittany Wise, Brother Bob Bolton, Brother Jimbo Thompson, Carol Hosh, Sister Lois Weems, Paul Schoenberger, Charles and Nell Fleming, Sister Billy Bolton, Dee Dee Freeland, Brother Sister Arlton Bristow, Kenny and Georgia McCool, Brother Sister Dickey, Brother Sister John Proctor, Billy and Jeremy Trinato, and Triton Fritz. As I was on the way to church this morning, I was seeing the snow and it was starting to kind of melt away. And I hadn't necessarily had a thought from the Lord yet. And then that one came to me. In order for snow to even stick on the ground, there has to be a certain amount of temperature that the ground is, and there has to be quite a bit of it, a complete refreshing of it and falling down of more snow. Because that first snow falls on the ground and it melts away. And then as it continues to layer and layer, it freezes and more snow piles on top of it. And then I saw a brother Landon Gore, I believe it was, he posted or posted on Facebook. I'm still kind of new to Facebook. But he posted on Facebook and he said, God responds to your prayer life and not your prayer. And I thought about that for a second, because when it first started to snow yesterday, it wasn't sticking to the ground. It took multiple prayers. It took multiple layers of snow to continue to pound on the ground. And it had to be set at the right temperature or else it wasn't going to stick. You can send up a prayer to the Lord at your lowest moment, and He might answer it because He's a gracious and He's a willing God and He's a loving God. But He responds to our prayer life. And the perfect condition of our prayer life is multiple prayings in a day, multiple fastings, reading the Word of God, and continually taking up your cross daily. And only then will you start to see a change in the ground around you. You start to see the snow starts to stick to the ground. You start to see a change in your prayer life and in your spiritual life because of that prayer, that multiple layers of prayer and that dedication to God. So if you have a need here today, I heavily urge you to step forward. Because a few weeks back, it finally came to me. I can't go to church anymore and not give every ounce that I have. I've played sports for too long. I've hung out with friends for too long where I've given them every ounce of personality that I have and every ounce of physical body that I have. And I didn't do it on Sundays. So I refuse to quit going to the Lord on Sundays, no matter how bad my week was, no matter how great my week was. I refuse to not go before the Lord on Sunday and give Him every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears that I have to give. So if you have a prayer request, our ministers will anoint you with oil today, and I heavily urge you to step out in faith. Lord, we don't understand the complex workings of You, God. We don't understand always our situations and our friends and our lives and our family situations, God. But we understand that we serve a God that has all power, and not an enemy in hell can come against You, Jesus. So Lord, I pray Your will to be done in every name of this prayer request and in every situation and parish, God, and in every person here today. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over us. In Your name, amen. how grateful I am for this church. I am off at my second college right now, and it is so great just to look at the live streams and see the things that God is doing here. And it's not just because of your worship, but also because of your giving. And we have such an amazing facility. We have an amazing gym for the youth, the family center, this building. It's so great. And I often think that we take it for granted. We just don't realize how great it is. So this next time that we give today and every day, I just want you to remember that as you give. So if the ushers will come forward. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you that we have the ability to come here, that we have the freedom to come worship you in this amazing place. And I pray that you continue to touch us, fill us with your spirit, touch each of us that give, each that can't give, and bless us all. In Jesus' name.
Today. It's a thrill and a joy to spend time with the Lord, knowing that He has already watched you all week long. He's watched you the past few months. He has noticed your needs. That's why the scripture said He knows what you have need of, even before you ask Him. He works according to those needs. I know when I was a kid, Mother and Dad didn't know my needs. They just thought they did. Until I grew up, and I realized they knew what I needed. I did not know what I needed. I needed candy. I needed motor scooters, go-karts, ballparks. But they said I needed education. They said I needed to learn to be disciplined. And it started paying pretty good dividends to mind them after a while. Not lie to them, because I tried that trick and it didn't work real good for me. But somehow they saw through it. And I just figure if Mother and Dad could get that far along, God, who monitors our very spirit, He probably knows what we have need of before we ask. So He put that in book, and most of us can't put our mind on paper because it vacillates. But He could put His mind on paper, and it never has changed, because He is the Alpha and the Omega. He created us in His likeness. Created He them, male and female. He's a good God. I've gotten to where I sort of depend on Him. If He's not there, I feel pretty lonely. And so it's a good thought today to know He's already ready to walk home with you. After sharing His heart, sharing His thoughts, He is more than willing to oblige you with spiritual energy that will give you the ability to put in practice the teaching and the ministry of the word. He knows how to get you there. He's got your number. He cares for you. I wish you'd tell your neighbor all that may be true. I'd say there's a better than average chance that it's true because I got all that out of the book. And it's interesting. Well, I can't thank you enough. Did you get the lesson? It's just like some of my friends, a little slow getting there. But I believe that this city is blessed to have you as a part of this ministry. Brother Reeder, would you stand and introduce your former assistant pastor to us? Praise the Lord. Y'all pray. Thank you. Well, I tried to find the best pictures I could because they say pictures are better than 1,000 words, and so I figure if I use pictures, I can get through quicker. Cut out a few hundred words at least. So, is the earth that you're living on sinking in morals, in honesty, in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness, in peace? When you look at the world that you're living in, is it rising or sinking? Is it come to its place that it ought to be? Is it better now than it was 500 years ago? Does the statement on our coins and cash say the same thing and mean the same thing now? In God we trust? Are neighborhoods safer now that we have more church buildings? And that now we have far more religious systems? Is it rising or sinking? What's going on here? Are your children safer now on the street than they were? Is marriage a more reliable source of joy and peace to a husband and a wife, or a man and a woman, and to the family unit? I don't know about you, but my measuring stick says we need some help. And in the process of this, we need preaching. Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. So your voter action on those things, how did you vote inside of you? And what is the action you're going to take as a response? The proving ground of your true action for us and our children, our nation, our city, our state, for the preservation of having church services that are significantly meaningful to everyday life? I mean, do those all count? Or is it just, oh my God, it's Sunday, I got to go to church. They'll think I'm backslid if I don't make it. I've been with the devil a few days. I know what he puts in the mind of all of us. I'm including myself. But I better go or somebody may get the wrong idea. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a real enemy. He wants this thing to sink. But you got a real Savior and he wants this thing to rise. That's a lukewarm status. He said, I would that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. You ever spewed spit out of your mouth? It does work, don't it? Have you ever had a spitting contest? See who could spit the furthest? Had some friends that had a contest about that one time. It's weird what people come up with to prove how good they are on certain things. So what is our aim? What is it that we wake up in the morning for? What is it that we pray about? What is it that we want to hear the preacher preach about? What do we study when we open that book and we get our nose in that thing and we look around and parade through it, nothing interesting. That don't fit me. That may be good for somebody else, but boy, what is your aim? Do you know how to read God's compass? That's why we need the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. How could that be if the Spirit of the Lord didn't furnish the rest of it? He, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, will lead and guide you. Now, he's got two or three ways of doing that. Good. You got the whole show to start with. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He takes it to the max. Guess what's going to happen? Exceeding abundantly is going to be returned to him. Oh, y'all get serious here now. The Lord's about to do something. Because when God wraps his arms around you, I tell you, there's no penetrating power that can get that arm off of you. I'm here to tell you today that God is an ever-present help. He's on your side. He has got your back. He's got your future. He's got everything going that you even begin to need. I am asking us at the United Pentecostal Church, make up our minds. I'm going to live for every day. We need to go to the Lord in prayer for Pauline Riffle's husband. They have a wreck. He just, well, we're right at a great place in this message to do this very thing. What a deal. Why don't we stand? And let's point our heart and faith toward the Riffle family and to the doctors, but mainly to Jesus. Father, I was right there on that scripture. You know what we have need of before we ask. So that family needs the multiplicity of a church that stands with the blood, with the word, with the Holy Ghost. We pray angels bring thoughts and spiritual energy to that situation. Every person involved, I bring the blood, the word, and the power of the resurrection to that setting. In the name of Jesus, why don't we praise the Lord because he heard our prayer today. Father, we thank you for listening to us. We thank you for the abundant overflowing of your spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can count on it. If they have any ears to hear, they're going to be hearing the voice of God in moments. So I want us to pray one more prayer. God, give them ears to hear. Father, awaken their spirit to its highest level of sensitivity so that courage and confidence can enter their bodies and minds now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I can tell you the angels are not asleep and God's not asleep and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He heard everything we said, particularly if it had spiritual powers associated with it. What a place in this lesson for that to occur. Our aim, and it's one thing to aim your rifle at something, it's another thing to have the right bullet. I'm not much of a hunter, but I understand this, that those squirrels are not scared of my wife's little BB gun. She sticks it out the window when they try to get her flowers and shoots away, and I don't think she's killed one of them yet. I'm not sure. Did you ever want to? Did you kill one? I've been wanting to let her use my 410. She blow both of them away at the same time. The pot and the pest. What will be my part in this plan of God? The Bible said that every member in the body of Christ is of importance. Quit. Don't you ever get to thinking that you don't matter. Not one sparrow. And when you study the sparrow story, one sparrow means nothing. There's two stories about sparrows in the Bible, and when you read those and study them, you sense that not one sparrow falls to the ground that your heavenly Father doesn't notice it. That's amazing to me. Of course, if you don't believe in God, then that don't mean anything. But if you believe in God, it means everything. Take it to heart. And then he tells us how much they're sold for, and then one sparrow, when you see out of the five, that three sparrows are sold for two farthing, the one means nothing compared to the two stories. And yet your heavenly Father's trying to paint you a picture. You mean everything to him. Stand up, would you? Look at this guy. Come here. Do you know that God watches you all day, every day, listens to everything you say? He has got your number, brother. He knows what you have need of. So he that hath ears to hear, let him hear the response. Come and cast all your cares on me. Get them out there. Tell him, God, I feel bankrupt. I feel helpless against this big world. God, whatever you got to do, let a preacher preach to me. Let an angel give me a thought. But God, raise me up. Give me power to not let my world sink because I give up, give in, and quit. Fight. Tell them. Oh, I mean, get some grit in it. Tell those people they didn't hear you. Come on, folks, we can do it. Thank you. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. He's got your back. Oh man, those people thought David was stupid going out there with a little slingshot against a giant. He's got your back, David. Go ahead. Oh, the brothers said it's not enough. We'll stand over here and shake and quake and make fun of you, boy. You don't have it. He said, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. That's why I serve him. He's real. He's powerful. He can forgive every sin. He can help get rid of my history. And he can give me everything that I need for my future. I wish some of you would stand up and give him the kind of praise he deserves today. He sits on a throne waiting on somebody to praise his name. So what will be my part in this plan of God? Romans 12 gives us some definitives. So somebody say being many, get to thinking I don't count. Or one body. I wish you'd tell your wife or husband I do count. And you better treat me like God treats me or God's going to mistreat you. Kudos. God asked 7 questions in the Bible. Where are you? Where are you? Are you within earshot? Do you have his ringtone? Do you know when it's him or when it's demons? Where are you? Have you relocated your emotional system in the last month? You stabilized it with the word, because the Bible says the word of the Lord is an anchor of the soul. That's stability. No wind of every false doctrine can get you when you're built on the sure foundation. You'll fall for anything if you just fall for good looks and good taste. I can tell you. I went there. So what is this you have done? Forsaken him, the bread of living life? What is this you have done, sir? I want to tell you before we go any further, you can get forgiveness the minute you realize that God's questioning you, not pastor. Why do you call me good? Am I good 24/7? Because I will not have a God, you serving another God beside me. You will love the one and hate the other, or you will love the other and hate and despise the other one. So why do you call me good? And who do you say I am? There's only one. In the beginning, God. Created everything that is created. And by him all things were created. And nothing was created that was not created by him. Straight out of that book. And then if you call me good, do you follow good? Do you think I came to bring peace? These are God's questions. I just got them out of the book. Then seek me, because I am the Prince of Peace. The ones in charge of that little operation. And so all the other stuff I tell you about is to bring you to that satisfaction, that moment of peace that is so powerful that you can't understand how it really happened. And then, what will it profit a man if he gets everything here and has to live with it the rest of his eternal life? We already get weary with it, and we hadn't had much of it more than 50 or 70 years. We want to go trade it in pretty quick. We want to get something new. We don't like stuff that gets a little stale and stagnant. So what is the profit if a man gain the whole world and don't even enjoy the part of the world he's living in now? There's a lying spirit loose in this world. And if you had more money, you'd be happy. I got more money right now than I ever had as a teenager, and I'm not happy. I was never happy with just money. I had more than my heart could wish years ago. But still, the money that I do have now don't satisfy everything in my world. I can't give it to everybody. And I want to help everybody. If I give it away, y'all going to be stuck with me for the rest of my life. I want to give. I want to do. I can't reach for it. So I've got to depend on an outside source. I've got to get a hold of something that can reach beyond my mind, my heart, my spirit. Billy, I can't tell you what it feels like to see you here today. That boy of yours and that old wife of yours. I mean, that wife of yours. Oh, what a thrill. All of you, you look great to me. I can't give you everything I want to give you. But I can give you what you need. And that's the bloodline. That's a name that's above every name. That is a sanctity of the word that will lead and guide you into places that the enemy would forfeit for you if he had the control of your life. I am preaching to somebody that came here on purpose today. You made up your mind, I got to get some help. And God said, I'll respond. I am the Lord that heareth thee, and I know thee by name, and I could pin you out. I wish we'd pray for one another. Those that are not here, those that are here. My God, we got to have this revival you promised us. We got to let Joel, the second chapter, come alive in our life. We got to let it come alive in our church. We got to let it come alive in our city. Oh God, I pray for whoever it is and whoever they are out yonder. I do know somewhere somebody is listening that you designed this message for. So how long does it profit us to get a new car? How long does it profit us to get a nice home? How long does the profit seem to last? Preaching so hard, I'm chasing the little cusser away. There it is again. Sinking or rising, my daily contribution, faith continue to move mountains. Be still and see what happens, or continue to talk about it. It's just a whole lot easier to sit in a coffee shop and tell how bad the world is. Yeah, I don't know. I never got a lot of profit out of just telling people how stupid my neighbors were. Just never got a lot out of it. I don't think I ever helped them by talking about how bad they were. People in the church even. I mean, like, oh, wig head over there, you know. What? What do you get out of that stuff? What does that do for righteousness, peace, and joy? What does it do for the fruit of the Spirit? That's why he says, don't do that backbiting thing. I think it's in here, but you know what he says, don't you? He said, if you don't like Stephen, go to him and tell him he stinks. A lot easier to tell your wife how stinky he is, huh? Maybe I've noticed it's just a whole lot easier to tell everybody else how dumb the neighbor is. What do you get out of that? How does it help him? Go over and tell him how stupid his yard looks if you get mad at him. And then when you finish telling him that, tell him, say, but I came over here to help you get it done, buddy. Because he said, you do it to the least of them, and it's as unto me. So that's where you start getting glory. Oh, I don't like the way so-and-so shouts. I tell you the truth. They make me nervous every time they shout. Go tell them. Oh, it's a lot easier to tell your coffee club. I didn't come here to just play games with this stuff. I said we're going to live forever somewhere. And we're making choices every day that determine where that somewhere is. And I want to be walking with him. I want to be listening to him. I want to be what part of his body. That's why the writer put it in paper. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not just three or four scriptures. The gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus taught them how to live life. That's what develops our faith or our lack of faith. If you said both while ago that it's sinking and rising, you aligned yourself with the scripture. In the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, going to be a revival. So, what are you going to join? Seeking in the wisdom and the way of God is critical. Everybody that's 20 and under, would you stand up in here? We've got a lot of them in the children's church. 20 and under, would you stand? Now we got any 60 and older. Now y'all stay standing. Look at these ladies and these men. Now, here's what the Bible said. Be thou an example. Because you are living letters, read and known of all of our young people. You young'uns, come up here. But we got a good group. I'm telling you, I could not be honored more than some of these young people and most all of them. You want to know how to really do the will of God every morning, every day? Will it glorify God? How you think about these kids? How you talk about them? How you pray about them? How you treat them when they're at church? Be thou an example. Should include dress, conversation, and worship. But I promise you, each of them's got, can all of y'all see pretty well? You do know you got about 7 million cells in each eyeball that develop the color scheme. 100 million in each eyeball that develop black and white. So no matter whether they dressed up good or not, you can tell. Now, here's the cosmic part of that that is so powerful. Those eyeballs are sending signals to your head. Have you already noticed some of them that are happy? Can't find them? Oh, you got to find them because I've already been seeing them, man. Is your eyeballs working? Kind of. Well, better work with somebody else then. Ladies and gentlemen, your eyeballs are sending signals all the time. This world is watching us to see if we really match up with what we preach. They got eyes. And the book said the children of this generation are wiser in their day than the children of light. But that's just for their day. They study hard to make money. They study hard to build beautiful homes. They study hard, but they don't have a preacher in many cases that will help develop them into strong people that can lead in the fight and move mountains and open up wow rivers of living water. That's what this pastor is trying to develop. I'm not trying to develop millionaires, even though I could handle a few more. Tithes are good off of millionaires. Hurry. Y'all stand up there, man. Y'all believe it or not, I used to hold him in my arms. Got to eating and outrun me. What a great guy. I'm telling you, Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour wants to rob you guys. We're not going to turn the lights out here. We're not going to turn down the word. We're not going to turn down the blood. We're going to hang on to every good and perfect gift. I wish you'd stand and tell them we're hanging on. No, I mean, get some guts in it, man. There you go. Stand. You can sit there and tell them. You can't hardly get up. Just stand there and scream it to them. I knew he had it in him. Come on, folks. We're not here to show off. We're here to get involved. We're here to fight the fight that's going to leave our wonderful kids a heritage. Thank you. Thank you. Clap your hands. That's not easy to stand in front of the people. This world, somebody read Matthew 24 and 35 for me. I got it up here, but I want somebody out there reading it. This world's already cursed. That's why I said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. You got to choose between which you love. Something that's about to explode and burn up. Or you got the heavens of heavens that cannot contain the glory that shall be revealed. When we either die and go by the grave. And by the way, don't worry about dying because they're coming out first. Looked back here and saw a daughter about that time. That smile, Sister Cynthia, always affects me great. I got to thinking about your dad immediately. They're going to get out of here quick. 24:35, somebody. Somebody can read loud. No, you can't stand. Stand up. And there's people way over in the corner that have hearing aids and they don't have them turned up. Somebody say, heaven and earth are going to pass away with a great noise. I'm telling you, this thing's about over. Even if it lasts another 100 years, it's about over. I think I want to let you get out of here without hearing at least the exactness of what you're forfeited if you turn Jesus down in any form. I pledge allegiance. Those of you that can do it, I want you to put your hand on your heart. And I'm going to lead us in a short pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Word. I pledge allegiance to the Holy Ghost. I pledge allegiance to the powers of the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the ministry that's anointed of God. In Jesus' name. Father, you have seen the hunger and the thirst. Those people at their house that couldn't be here. A cry for the sake of a city. Let us be up and about your business. In Jesus' name. Don't let us sleep the sleep of death. Give me messages that burn long after the service is over. In Jesus' name. Make your calling and election sure. Don't just study the Bible to see what you can get out of it as thought patterns. Study it. And then live it. You can't do everything in a moment, but you can start. God's with people that get started. The Bible's full of those people. Study the Word is a whole lot more than reading it. I know a lot of people that read their Bible every year, but they don't never seem to connect it to the other scripture on the other side of the fence that gives balance to that scripture. See, if you take a couple of scriptures, I'm trying to think right now. There's several that would almost incite something contradictory to the overall picture. But there's a connection. Those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read them and you find some differentiation. And I remember studying all that for my license with the United Pentecostal Church, and I found some different categorical things. But when you study them, you sense that they're meaning the same thing. For instance, there's one place he uses two, and the other writer uses four. That's sort of weird to me. I mean, when I was studying some of that stuff and ran across that, I got shook up. So you never frustrate the grace or the teachings of the Word of the Lord until you give the Holy Ghost time to keep you in enough church services where the preaching of the Word is done, until you'll find someday some preacher will come along and he'll tie those two scriptures together. Thus, the scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because it's line upon line, here a little, there a little, that the Bible tells you it's going to happen. But anyhow, you know, how old is this gentleman? 12. How soon are you going to be as big as your dad? tomorrow. I knew it. You're going to be as smart as your dad? Let me tell you something. Your dad's a smart guy. He knows when you need shoes. What a family. I'm enjoying so much them being home. Two requirements for resolving the present day issue. You say, is that true? I didn't say it's going to happen in a minute. I said there's two requirements. Number one is very simple. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's loving Him. The next thing is, love your neighbor as yourself. Those two requirements, they don't seem to fit in every church. But they fit in God's economy. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. You want a miracle? I'll tell you where they start. Loving your neighbor and loving yourself. Feed yourself the bread of life. Care about your neighbor like you care about yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. You want that world to rise? Get into the prophetic word. You want that world to sink? Don't care. Is that what they did to you? Is that what I did to you? Let you go, or have I reached out to you? Count on it. That lady's never going to stop reaching out to you. He's never going to stop reaching out to you. But He wants you to reach out to Him and get the power source to love your church family, but love your neighbor as yourself. Give them what you can. Most people think that's money. I used to tell Dad, if you'd just give me all the money I need, we could get along better. He said, I'm giving you more than you're worth. He didn't say it in those words. It was my interpretation. I had a gift of interpretation years ago. I'm going the wrong way or something. Forgive self. Forgive neighbor. You're probably not going to sense being forgiven till you forgive your neighbor. Just don't happen. Because forgiveness is a spirit that cleanses the past. And if you want to be forgiven, forgive your neighbor because God did. And you're their neighbor, and He couldn't forgive you if He didn't forgive them. I thought that was good preaching. Then if they don't start acting right, You've done everything you could. Even God won't make people go to heaven. And you're not going to force them there. So turn them over to Satan and let them see what they really got. That's what the Bible says. Turn such an one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of the soul. Once they see how far downhill they're going, they're going to find you again because you cared enough to come to them. You taught your children how to pray. You taught your children how to touch God. You taught your children how to have faith in God. You taught your children. You teach those young people that or you're out of here. Because someday they may not do it quick. I didn't do it quick. But when I found how dead-end streets wind up, I ran back to Calvary, and I remember telling God, I don't care what I have, what I don't have and what I do have to do. I want to live in your kingdom. I want to walk with you. I want to live for you. I want to give my life to you. I don't want this life in my hands any longer. It's a mess, but God has straightened out a lot of the crooks in the road. Could we stand? Do I have one more frame? I want you to see this. I lived too long behind the prison walls. I was just a teenager when I came in, but I lived way too long. I could have had a whole lot more if I'd have got started sooner. Look at that wife. Look at her now, still gorgeous. Cooks my meals when she's sick. Takes care of our business when I need her. How do you wind up with that? Then two fabulous girls in a church. Building's paid for because you cared. Because you shared. I got some of the nicest compliments from yesterday's funeral. Your ladies are so sweet. The meal was so good. It comforted us. I got to receive that. I'm sorry you didn't, but I wanted to make sure you hear it today. This church is a lighthouse of comfort, of joy, of peace, of righteousness, of future, of glory. We must keep revival alive. We can't let it die now. Let's thank him like he deserves it. Clap your hand with all your heart. Rejoice in the Lord thy God. He is merciful. Sing it as we rejoice. Where I lived for too long in a prison of flesh, I'm now enjoying a church family in a city. Reputation I don't deserve. People know I'm your pastor. They know you and they tell me how great you are. I'm going to keep preaching.
I'm coming back to your
yes, I get times when I want to give up.
Cause there's a hunger.
Yes, I give half times. I feel like a failure.
There's a thirst.
And then I look around.
I am desperate.
And I see what the Lord has done.
Immerse me.
Coach, we're so glad you're here. Praying for and with you.
Not anymore.
Oh, yes.
I need you, Lord. Cause there's a hunger and there's a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. I'm not waiting.
dry. When all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence.